Today's episode of The Mom Game is brought to you by our friends at Gateway Buick GMC at LBJ and Jupiter. I know that buying a car can be stressful, but not at Gateway because their slogan is Gateway's Got It. And just what does that mean? Well, it means Gateway's got a wide selection of new Buicks, GMCs, and GM certified used vehicles, all competitively priced. Gateway's Got It. In these busy times, you want a car dealer who makes things easy and convenient. Well, guess what? Gateway's Got It. When you log on to gatewaybuickgmc.com, look for the Shop, Click, Drive button. This allows you to shop from the comfort of your home, and who doesn't want that? In fact, it's as easy as 1, 2, 3. 1, select your vehicle. 2, create your offer. 3, schedule your delivery. And on top of all this, Gateway Buick GMC offers complimentary car washes for life. So, when you want a dealer who has it all, Gateway's got it. You can find them online at gatewaybuickgmc.com or shop in person at LBJ and Jupiter. GMC, we are professional grade. Experience the new Buick.
And I'm going to tell you about our friends over at Golden Chick now. Let me give you a little bit of background about Golden Chick, first of all, in case you don't know. Golden Chick was founded in San Marcos, Texas in 1967. It's a family-oriented brand, which is part of the reason we love them here on The Mom Game. They're the creator of the original Golden Tenders, along with other chef-inspired menu items, including the classically reimagined Big and Golden Chicken Sandwich. It's delicious. Right now, guests can get the sweet, heat-inspired hot honey sriracha sauce now through September 1st. It's coated atop Golden Chick favorites like crispy hand-breaded wings and the ever-popular Golden Tenders for a fiery flavor experience. Alongside that new sauce flavor, Golden Chick will debut a first of its kind combo meal. That's the Swahit combo with 3 delicious wings and 2 100% tenderloin tenders covered in the hot honey sriracha sauce and served with a fresh baked yeast roll, savory Southern style side, and a 30-ounce beverage. Everything you could want in a meal. Go get you some Golden Chick today. It's perfect for a quick meal for the family. Make sure to take a picture and tag us on social media when you are enjoying your Golden Chick.
And welcome into the Coppola Home Studios for episode 228 of The Mom Game. I'm Emily Jones. She is Julie Dobbs. Obviously, we are not together because Julie is north of the border visiting her in-laws and her husband's side of the family in Canada. I am back at work after a month off of doing Rangers games, which is insane, and home picking weeds to catch up on my household chores. And, you know, I know how to party, Julie.
Yeah, you do. Were the weeds super long, or did you hire someone to do weeds while you were out of town?
No, I didn't. I'm trying to do like a 2-week schedule, like every 2 weeks, pick weeds.
Okay.
So it's weird.
You have to let them grow. That's part of the deal, right? You can't.
I just was about to say. So picking big weeds is easier than picking small weeds.
Uh-huh.
So yeah, this is where I am in my life.
So you have to find like the perfect weed happy place.
Yeah, where, and I think 2 weeks is probably it.
Yeah, so it's not like getting too long that it's like making you mad, but long enough that you can pull it and it's an enjoyable experience.
Correct. This is where I am in my life. Hi, welcome to being a neurotic middle-aged woman. That's me. So yeah, 2 hours down this morning, I'm almost through the front yard. The front yard's way harder, which is why I do it first. And then I'll transition to the backyard before I go to work today.
Oh, good. I'm so glad to know all of that.
Thank you.
I'm so happy.
Okay. Yeah. We have so much to catch up on because we taped last week's show. So we haven't caught up in like 2 weeks. And usually, I mean, we catch up in between shows, obviously, but we try not to catch up too much because we want to save the good stuff for the show. So tell us, first of all, where you are exactly, what you're doing, and what you've been up to.
Because I noticed
you were at a very bougie famous person's wedding.
Yeah. And you were at a very famous person's Hall of Fame ceremony. So we have a lot of cool stuff to catch up on. But yeah, I am in Nanaimo, British Columbia right now. I am currently at the 460 Realty offices here in Nanaimo. It is my father-in-law's company and now my brother-in-law runs it because Randy's like basically retired. So it's really cool. I love seeing the way this company has like grown over the years. And I kind of like popping in here every summer, every other summer, whenever I'm here to the conference room to do our show, because it's the same spot I did it 2 years ago. But we are on Vancouver Island, which is where my husband is from. If anybody's new here and hasn't heard me talk about it, it's like one of the most gorgeous places I've ever seen. I absolutely love it here. Every time I'm here, I'm like, first of all, how did you leave? And second of all, why are we not here more? especially this time of year when it's so hot at home. And like I went out for a walk this morning and it was like 55 when I left, and it warms up throughout the day, but it's just gorgeous. And so we had this trip that we were trying to schedule, and we wanted to come for a decent amount of time. And then we also were trying to schedule a trip to Coeur d'Alene, Idaho, to go to Jamie Benn's wedding. And when we were doing it all, we were like, I think it was Kelly's dad that mentioned you can actually drive from Vancouver to Coeur d'Alene. It's not too bad of a drive. And we were like, oh, interesting. So we figured it all out to where we could just book one flight and come up here and spend like a week. And then we left our kids with their aunt and uncle, which is fun because they never have done that before. Like, we are always using my family for childcare. And so we left them with their aunt and uncle and cousins here for the weekend. And then we drove from, we took a ferry over. Cause have you ever taken a ferry, like with a car, like a big ferry?
Not with a car.
Yeah. I remember whenever I first heard about it, I was like, what? You can put cars on the ferries? Like, it's crazy. But that's what we have to do here on the island to go to the mainland. So we took a ferry with the car and then got to the other side and got to Vancouver and then drove about it ended up being 8 hours because the border wait going into the U.S. was 1 hour or like an hour and a half, like as you sit there and wait to cross the border. But we went to Coeur d'Alene and, yes, went to Jamie, Ben, and Jessica, their wedding. And it was so lovely. And we had a great time. It was really fun. Really love them. Really love him. Really love his whole family. Jordy's on his third baby now, about to have his third baby boy. And then just love his parents. We've known them for, you know, Kelly and Jamie went into the league at the same time, basically. And it was the same time I was started covering the team, too. So it's kind of cool because Kelly, like I know Jamie separately, then Kelly knows Jamie, but then we both know Jamie together, too. So really honored that he wanted us, you know, to be a part of it. And we just had so much fun. It was really fun. And we drove back to Canada on Sunday. So, you know, that was a little rough. It's like a really late, fun party night. And then you wake up and we were trying to get back in time to see the kids before bed. And so it was a long travel day on Sunday, but we made it back. And now we're back on the island until Thursday. And then I will come home. So I'll be home back in Dallas functioning as an American again on Friday.
Yay.
Yeah.
How was the wedding? Was it so, it looked amazing. So I'd never heard of, what's it called? Coeur d'Alene.
Yeah.
And it was so funny because we were with the Kinslers at Adrian's Hall of Fame ceremony that we stayed with them, and they have a home in Coeur d'Alene. And Tess, Ian's wife, was talking about how incredible it is and it's beautiful in the golf and, you know, all the things. So it sounds like super amazing.
It is amazing. And that's funny because I've like been stalking Coeur d'Alene a bit after, because I knew that. So there's a place called like Gauzer Ranch.
Yes. That's where they have a house.
That's where they probably have a house. So that's like, it's like the new place where I feel like retired athletes are all like buying houses, moving, spending their summers, maybe living. Like Brendan Morrow has a place there too. Sheldon Surrey, who played for the Stars for a little while, and dated a wrestler named Kelly Kelly. If you ever knew Kelly Kelly, but I remember when he was dating her and playing for the Stars. And so she'd come around. She was like a famous wrestler, this hot blonde girl, but they're not dating anymore. But anyway, he's got a place there too. And so I was stalking his Instagram and saw Ian in some of the pictures. So I was like, oh, Ian up here too. It's just like, it's really cool. It's gorgeous. And I think it's just like a, people feel like they're on a ranch, you know, and they let their kids go to camp all day, every day. And then they just like party. I think that's the whole deal with the Gaza Ranch people, which sounds like a nice little life. If you can make a whole bunch of money and then retire and go move there. But it was great. The wedding was really good. It was really sweet, really special. I don't know Jessica like super well. It seems like maybe 2 years, I guess they met and then started dating and got engaged. And it just seems like it was one of those things that was like meant to be. And like Jamie, after being in, you know, he'd been in a long relationship for a while before that, it seems like he met Jessica and was just like, this is it. She's the one. And she's very lovely, gorgeous, absolutely gorgeous. And so sweet. And, but it was more, you know, for us, it was just really cool to see Jamie. Like everybody was crying. Jordy was bawling when he was giving his best man speech. Jamie got up and spoke. And I mean, we were all crying. It was just a really beautiful, sweet wedding. And, obviously, like, you know, they did it up really big and treated everybody really well. The food was delicious. The decor and everything was just perfect. There was a fireworks show after they got married, like at the end of the dock over the lake. A lot of boats were in there. I'm sure the people on the boats were like, whoa, what's this random fireworks show for? But it was just, you know, it was just a first class event. And really fun. Everybody was in a really happy, fun, loving mood. Joe Pavelski had just retired. And that news like hit yesterday after, you know, everybody knew that it had happened. And we were with him too and got to see Vern Fiddler. And he's one of my favorites that I've ever covered. And his wife, Chrissy. And I actually wanted to talk to you about like having them on. Chrissy's, their son's about to get drafted into the NHL next year. And so Chrissy, the wife, is like, has a really cool perspective of being married to an NHL player and then raising one who's about to be drafted. And we had some really awesome conversations. But just seeing a bunch of our old friends and all of that was just really lovely. And then like Kelly was having the time of his life and it's good to see him. He had a big night Saturday night. He was like love bombing everyone. You know, have you ever been at a wedding or like at a situation where people just have a whole lot to drink and just love bomb each other?
Yeah.
Like, I love you so much. Like, I just love you. Oh, you're just the best. Like at one point I was like prying him away from Jamie. Like I told him yesterday or Sunday, I was like, Kelly, you were like telling Jamie he was your favorite human and like the best human on earth.
Like, hey, I'm standing right here. You're welcome. I
know. Like, hello. But it was just, everyone was just so happy for him. You know, he's 35. Like, it's been a long road. And I think, you know, he's seen a lot of people get married, have kids and all that, and was waiting to find the right one. And he did. And they're just really cute, too. Yeah. And it was just awesome.
Yeah. I'm trying to think, like, for me, like, I can't remember the last wedding I went to was my nephew getting married. Like, I think I'm too old for weddings at this point.
You're not too old, but yeah, it's weird because they die down.
Yeah. Definitely not a whole lot of weddings on the agenda for.
No, I hadn't been to one in a long time either. Kelly and I were talking about.
They're fun though.
They're so fun.
They are super fun. I know Cooperstown kind of felt like a little bit kind of like a wedding, and we're going to talk about Cooperstown a little bit later. But yeah, it's crazy. Like, you know, we went through that whole like wave of weddings and then you go through a wave of baby showers. And now it's like, we're all just like looking around. I'm like, okay, I guess graduations are next. Like,
yeah, you know, like I think that's why people celebrate their big birthday, you know, like a 40th or a 45th or a 50th. It's like, you kind of have to create those reasons to
celebrate.
Go for a big celebration and see your friends and that kind of thing.
Yeah. Well, so my kids, my house is quiet. Other than my dogs, because my kids are at camp for 2 weeks. So while we were in Cooperstown, because Mike went with me, while we were in Cooperstown, we left on Friday and the kids had to leave for camp on Sunday. So my sweet sister-in-law, bless her heart, and we had everything, of course, I had everything super dialed and ready, but she actually, you know, physically got them to the bus and on their way to camp. So my kids are at camp for 2 weeks. This is a new camp they're going to. Because of the All-Star game, I wanted my kids to be able to be there, the camp they usually go to. It didn't work out schedule-wise, so they're trying a new camp this year. And so I had a little bit of nerves about that. But yeah, I get pictures all the time. You know, now the technology is so insane. Like, I just got a picture of, like, Henry. They're, like, photo detected of, you know, Henry, and it texts me, and then it shows me the picture, and it's, like, him playing water something.
Yeah.
So anyway, it's hot. Like, I don't know. It's so weird. Like you think about, I mean, I only went to camp one time as a kid for 1 week. It was like a church camp. And then there were it's not like you were in constant contact anyway. So people didn't have cell phones. So it wasn't like you were going to be in touch. There was no email. There was none of that. And so you kind of have to let go as a parent of like not being able to be in constant communication with your kid. Because even at the other camp they went to, I would email them every day and then they could email me back. At this camp, they have to like physically write you a letter. They can't email you back. I can email them, but they can't email you back. But no technology, no cell phones, no, none of that. And so I just think like, you know, camp isn't cheap, but it's like 2 weeks where they literally just get to be kids. Mm-hmm. They don't have phones. They don't, you know, they don't have practices. And I just feel like, especially we've talked about this a million times, like how, you know, much pressure is put on our kids, whether it's external, internal, or whatever, to, you know, succeed in school and to make good grades and to be the best athlete and all that kind of stuff. That it's like for 2 weeks, they just get to just be fucking kids. And
yeah.
So I love that for them. It's a little nerve wracking for me as a little bit of a control freak, but I feel like I'm pretty good as a parent about not being too helicoptery or whatever. Especially as they get older, it's a lot easier, but yeah, I'm stoked for them. I think they're going to have the best time. And, it's also a good chance for, you know, for Mike and I to kind of breathe, take a break, you know, have some time with each other and all that kind of stuff. So yeah, it'll be a quiet couple of weeks at the McCoy house with the kids gone.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah. I've seen a lot of pictures and stuff from people, I think at that same camp right now too, which is really cool and really fun. And I don't know, I've been talking with Kelly about it, cause we haven't had anybody ask to go to camp yet, and I'm not going to force it on, you know, Ryder. Anna's still too young, I think, but that feeling of like, I don't know how that would feel like, just to not be able to like see them or check on them or, you know, but like everything you're saying is so cool too. Like it's probably just a dream world for them, you know, where they just go outside. And, you know, I was talking about it with Kelly. I was like, okay, like, but what if, you know, what if they get hurt or like, they don't know Anna likes this certain thing when she's got a mosquito bite, or what if blah, blah, blah. Or what if Ryder doesn't want to tell somebody that his tummy hurts because he's embarrassed, or, you know, whatever it is. And that's what I was trying to work through in my mind. It's like, those are the things that they probably need to go to camp for, to
100%.
Like realize that they can do these things without their parent, and like somebody else can help them, and they need to gain that independence from those thoughts that I have as their mom, like, well, who's, you know, so it's, yeah. it's a hard thing, I think, for parents.
For sure. And those are totally normal thoughts.
Yeah.
But also too, camp's not for every kid. Like I was talking to Tess Kinsler. We went on a walk when we were in Cooperstown, and I was telling her about the kids going to camp, and we were talking about it. She's like, yeah, my kid, they're just not camp kids. And I think it's also too, so much a Southern thing. You know, she's like, she sent her oldest to camp like 1 year, and it was right in the middle. Ian had just gotten traded. Like it just was a total S show. She like, you know, this camp that she sent her to, they sent her to, it was like, you know, North Carolina or somewhere. And at the time they were like, I can't even remember, Detroit or somewhere. And they got traded to Boston. And it was just like this whole rigmarole. Yeah. And so after that, Ryan was like, yeah, I'm out on camp. I don't ever want to do that again. And Tess is like, fine, great. It's not for you. And then Jack, their youngest, was like, saw how Ryan reacted and was like, yeah, camp isn't for me either. So, I mean, it's definitely not for every kid, for sure. Just like nothing is for every kid. So it's but for mine, they love it. And we'll see, this may be Henry's last year to go. But we'll see. We'll see how he likes it. And, but I'm excited for him. I'm, you know, I'm, But I only work like this one series against the White Sox. So Thursday, this airs, but I'm only working the White Sox series and then I'm off the rest of the time. And I'm already starting to be like,
can you relax? Can you relax? Can you do something relaxing?
I've already picked my weeds for the week. Like, what am I going to be doing? I don't know. I'm sure I'll figure plenty of stuff. You know, I got 8 other jobs other than
right. Mom games. Yeah. So but it seems like you should use that opportunity to like, I don't know.
I know, but you know, it's been a crazy month. We've had Florida, then we went to the lake, then we went to All-Star stuff, and then Cooperstown, which we haven't even talked about All-Star stuff. Okay, we gotta get moving.
I know.
Did you have something in here you wanted to talk about? No puppet stuff, or do we want to move on to the news desk? You want to put that in the news desk or sports?
Sure, yeah, let's put that in the news desk.
Okay, so you want to start with sports scores, a little few quick hits.
Yeah, let's do it. Sports Scores brought to us this week by Tylock George Eye Care. And Emily and I both had wonderful experiences with Tylock George Eye Care. I am absolutely loving my new eyeballs that can see 20/20 vision. I just went back for my checkup, I guess, about a week ago and did another vision check. My vision is now at 20/20, which just seems like something that was never going to be possible for me, but it is. And it's all thanks to the awesome people at Tylock George Eye Care. They have so many different life-changing options from their ophthalmology experts. You can see your world clearly from both long distance and up close, which is where I'm at now. No more readers, Emily. That's what you have going for you. And you have your second surgery coming up soon, right?
Yes. Next week, I get surgery number 2 on my second eye. But I will tell you, Julie, I don't think I've used my readers in probably 2-3 weeks.
Wow.
I can't see totally clearly, but I don't need them. And yeah. So that's been super cool.
Oh, that's awesome. You're going to love after you get that second eye done.
Yeah, I can't wait.
And then you are going to be back in business. Tylock George, which this is really cool too, because you might think that the financial side of LASIK or the eye surgery with Tylock George is the barrier for you. But right now they offer 24 months interest-free financing with approved credit. Give them a call and just tell them what you have going on with your eyes, whether you're like me and you can't see far away or you're like Emily and you're wearing readers all the time. Just schedule a free consultation with them. Go to Tylock.com. That's Tylock.com. And we actually have a exclusive code that you can use. So Tylock.com/TMG. And you can use our code for a discount. Mention the Mom Game for that special discount. So if you're listening and you need any sort of help with your vision, pick up the phone, give them a call. And just say you heard about it on the Mom Game and they will get you all set up for that free consultation and tell you what they can do for you. Highly recommend it. It is legit life-changing. We say that sometimes about things that aren't life-changing, but this is life-changing.
I know. And I can't wait for my second one. Cause like I said, I haven't like, it's been 2-3 weeks since I've even pulled out my reader. So, I can't wait for the second one to see how that all comes together. Okay, so sportsy stuff. I don't want to hit a whole lot of Cowboys too hard because it's already starting and it kind of gives me tired head. But they are starting training camp this week.
Yep.
Which means the monster is starting to awake.
The Cowboys machine. The Cowboys machine.
Is that a better way to put it?
Yes.
So, yeah. But, you know, we talk about that. And I think just being in media, per se, in this town for, you know, 25 years and being a sports fan, and I grew up a Cowboys fan. I want them to win, but the storylines and the narrative surrounding them are oftentimes so exhausting that it's just like, you know, and they only play 17 games. So it's like, I just want to watch the game on Sunday and
yeah.
I just win and then let all the other stuff go by the wayside. But now you've got Dak contract talks, you've got CD contract talks, you got Jerry in a courtroom with his alleged, you know, baby, grown ass baby now, in the legal battle. Like it's just always so much with the Cowboys. But I do still love them. They're still my team. Like they're the only NFL team I've ever rooted for. So I'm excited for football season for sure. But just like the constant beating of this machine is just sometimes exhausting.
Yep. It's, you know, the companies lean into it. The radio stations need all the,
oh yeah,
they need to come up with the stuff to talk about. Cause that's where they're told that the ratings are at, and that's where the demographic they're trying to get, which is the men 35, 54, whatever it is, that all resonates in Cowboys talk. So they come up with random Cowboys conversations. Yeah, it's kind of crazy, though, that it's starting now. And the only, like, I just was, like, briefly reading about storylines, and like you said, CD Watch is one of them, the contract thing. That's major tired head for me. I just forgot that Zeke was back.
I know.
Like, so I saw a picture of him. Like, I guess he posted on social media and he's like, oh, in his Cowboys jersey or something. I was like, what? Why is he oh, yeah. Like, Zeke is back and Tony Pollard is gone. And so he could be like the starting running back. I just feel like that's such a disaster of a plan.
You know what, though? Strangely, like, as wheels off as Zeke can be, he's interesting to me. Like, I want him to succeed. Like, I hope he goes and shoves. Like, I hope he does great. He just turned 29, which I thought was insane. He seems like he's 43. You know what I mean? Not because he looks old, just because he's been around for so long.
Yeah, he has been around for a long time.
Yeah, I'm kind of intrigued by Zeke.
By all accounts, he's like an awesome dude. And obviously, like, one of Dak's best friends. So that has to be good for Dak. But I just assumed they would find a starting running back and he would be the backup running back. But they don't have one. So I'm like, is Zeke going to be your starter? Somebody that you didn't even want on your team a couple of seasons ago? Because he couldn't even bring much value as a backup?
Feed me.
We'll see what happens. But yeah, I mean, you're going to sell the jerseys and he is exciting and fun and he'll jump in the kettle if he scores a touchdown during the Salvation Army game or whatever. But yeah, I don't think the Cowboys are going to be better. There's nothing they've done that's made me feel like they're going to be better. But we'll see. I always buy in too. You know, I'm always watching every game and hoping for the best for them.
For sure.
It'll be interesting.
Well, and we always say, you know, Rangers for so long, we were so bad. Like, you know, people would be like, oh, if the Rangers can just get us to football season, can just get us to Cowboy season. And obviously winning the World Series last year, that narrative kind of changes. But, you know, we've gotten everybody to football season because the Rangers are still, as crazy as it sounds, 4 games under .500 as we tape on a Tuesday, right in the thick of things in the American League West, because the American League West has struggled so badly. But 4 games back, 4 games under .500, you know, it's crazy to think that, you know, how this season has kind of taken its twists and turns. But, you know, we're about to hit August, 2 months to go in the regular season. And, you know, they're still in the thick of things. And you've got, you know, basically a week left until the trade deadline. And they're at this, like, pivotal point where literally one series could turn them into sellers or buyers. I mean, it's crazy because, you know, if you get swept in a series, it changes the entire complexion. If you sweep a series, it changes the entire complexion.
Yeah. So
it's such a crazy time for the Rangers. And it's always such a weird, awkward time leading up to the trade deadline, because, you know, especially for a team that's where we are and you're kind of in limbo, things could go either way. And literally it's a day by day proposition. So I think it makes things challenging for the front office for sure. But it also makes things interesting. And, you know, after covering some really bad, you know, baseball, you know, for the, you know, how many ever seasons prior to 2023, I'm just grateful that we're relevant and we're still in it and that we're still in the conversation. And, you know, we're playing meaningful games. These games mean something here as we approach August. So, you know, it was strange being off for over a month. I was really I guess flattered by how many people were wondering where I was and reaching out and
like you got fired or quit or
sending
something.
Message. I know. I was like, maybe I should have said something. I don't know. I just didn't really think anyone would notice, I guess, but it was a long time to be off. But, so it was good. It's good to be back, you know, here for, you know, the final couple months of the season. And it was also good to take a little break and, all that kind of stuff. So yeah, that's kind of where we are.
And it kind of worked out to where the Rangers, they were working through a lot of their issues while you were gone. And then you came back and they're 4 games out and it's more exciting. Games matter a little more. Like, I feel like you did that very well.
Yeah. Time is just perfect.
Good strategy. So where are we at on on injuries, people coming back? Scherzer came back. DeGrom's close.
DeGrom. So Tyler Mahle should be back, and I would guess the next couple of weeks. Jacob DeGrom, I would say, you know, end of August, September. Josh Young is very close.
Yeah.
Do what?
So not particularly close, but still.
No, Josh Young is very close. Evan Carter's about a week behind him. So you'll start to see some new blood get, you know, kind of infused into this thing. And then we'll see what happens come trade deadline time. The other thing that's coming up is the Olympics, which I don't know how you feel about the Olympics. I'm always kind of like, I don't know. I mean, it's kind of, I could take it or leave it, which I guess is a terrible attitude to have. But I just watched that Simone Biles documentary on Netflix.
Oh,
I cannot wait to watch her. I cannot wait. I hope she crushes. I hope she does so good. I want her to win all the gold medals. I love her so much now. I mean, I loved her before, but I don't guess I really fully knew her story, or I didn't pay attention because the last Olympics was during COVID. But like, she got what's called the twisties, and literally couldn't. It's like getting the yips in golf, but except for when you get the twisties, you could actually, you know, die by falling on your head doing a, you know, gymnastics routine. And it's about just like her desire to return. She's 26, 27 years old, 27 years old, like the oldest woman to ever compete in gymnastics in the Olympic stage. And her story is so fascinating. I highly recommend that. It's just two episodes.
Okay.
And it starts from Tokyo in 2024 and then kind of follows her along this like decision to try to come back, to make this other, you know, another one last Olympic run. So that kind of piqued my interest in it. Obviously basketball is something that piques my interest. And then of course, like the swimming events and the track events. So there are some, it's not like appointment television for me, but it is fun. It's fun to watch and, you know, it's fun to root for your country and.
It's fun. It's fun for kids, I feel like, to watch and learn about the different sports that there are that exist in the Olympics that maybe they didn't even know were, you know, were sports. And then just to be able to flip on the TV and like always have something on to watch, that part's fun too. I'm super excited to try to follow it. And I didn't know about that documentary, but
that's awesome.
I want to watch it because I remember watching and hearing about the twisties and thinking like, oh my gosh, I can't even imagine like the feeling of like fear all of a sudden, something you've been doing your whole life. And then you can't do it in that moment that like you've worked your whole life for. And I remember just like hoping that we'd get to see her again in the Olympics. And now we do. I'm super excited to maybe I'll go watch that on my flight on the way back.
Yeah, download it for sure.
Yeah. So they've been following her that whole time. Like this.
Yeah, it's really well done.
Really
cool.
One more Simone Biles note, though, because I saw this really cool thing on social media. It was like all these quotes that she had, like where she's being really funny and like normal and real and relatable. And she said something like the interviewer asked her, you know, if you weren't a gymnast, like what would you be doing or what do you do with your time off or something? And she used a word that I think is a good word for us to have in our mom vocabulary. But she says, like, I just want to rot on the couch. And that's what kids say now. And now I think about that. It's like,
I just want to rot on the couch.
I just want to rot. Like, they go sit on the couch with, like, snacks and, like, turn on Netflix. And, like, they call it rotting, which is amazing. But she said that was, like, her favorite thing was to either do. She's, I think the question was, when you're not at the gym, what are you doing? And she was like, oh, I'm rotting on the couch.
It's a little disturbing to think about, but. That maybe that's what I'll do when my kids are.
That's what I was going to say. You need to work on your rotting.
I'm going to rot on that. But the thing is, I've got to find something to watch. Like, that's my thing is if I've got a show to watch, I'm all in.
Yeah.
Like, I can rot all day long if I have something to watch. Like, I'll get obsessed with a show. And then because my OCD needs to finish it, I can rot.
That's a great rot situation.
Do what?
That's a great rot situation.
Yes.
Like you have to get through a series or something.
Yes. So I'm like, okay, I want to get, so like Love Island. Love Island is over. The season finale happened. Serena and Cordell won. It was very unexpected, but Cordell is the brother of Odell Beckham Jr. So
really?
My friend Maddie Seeger pointed out to me because I was texting her. I was like, oh my God, Serena and Cordell won. I cannot believe it. I thought for sure it was going to be Kendall and Nicole. And she's like, well, think about it. He's got the OBJ, you know, contingent voting for the whatever. Anyway, but now Love Island is over and I'm like, I don't have anything to watch. Yeah. So I need to find a show. Like, remember, I remember if I told you this, like I went through, like when I heard about Suits, like it's an old show, but like once I started watching Suits, I was all in, like I couldn't wait to watch it and all that kind of stuff. So I need a show. So everybody send me show ideas so I can rot.
Did you? So we need shows to rot with. Yes. Did you ever watch Emily in Paris?
I did. I didn't think I would like it because it's kind of a little too girly and cheesy for me, but it was super cute.
Yeah, super cute. I think there's a new season that just came out.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Okay. I saw a preview. She's single again.
Okay. Yeah.
So that might be interesting.
Yeah, there's something I could rot to. Mm-hmm. Okay, what else do we have on our... I can't. Bless me.
Let's see here. So Rangers, Olympics. We do need to talk all of the All-Star stuff.
Right. Do you want to talk about... Okay. Do you want to do All-Star stuff? Or are we going to do news first or feed?
Let's get through news.
All right. TMG News Desk.
Yes.
Okay. Since we've last talked, there was an assassination attempt on former President Donald Trump, and current President Joe Biden has dropped out of the election. What in the actual hell is going on in our country?
I hope there's a cameras following around all of this for Netflix documentary series on just the last few weeks in American politics. And this trip hasn't been so bad, but I feel like it's always interesting to come up to Canada because people think that like we're all crazy and they think that this is like something that we're all like freaking out about all the time. You know, like my family here will be like, oh, what about Trump and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, I don't know. I mean, I live there, but I'm not like, I don't know. I have a life outside of like following American politics.
I'm sure the Canadians are like, dude, what in the actual hell is going on in your country? Yeah. What are you Americans doing?
But they think we're crazy, but I like that, like, you can keep that all at an arm's length. Like, I don't know. We go through our life and we aren't worried about it too much. But, yeah, it has been absolutely insane lately. And then, yeah, Joe Biden just dropped out. That was this past Sunday while we were driving. So I was like, oh, this is juicy. This will keep me entertained for a while I'm in a car for 8 hours trying to, like, read about it a little bit. And last night, so first of all, Twitter. It has the For You tab, and then it has following. And it's really annoying because it goes straight to the For You, which isn't for me. It's all the shit that Elon Musk is feeding us.
Which is also terrifying. What is he doing? Stop.
It's like crazy, crazy, like right-wing stuff. And now it's very obvious that he's like a Trump person. So it's all this Trump stuff.
So that's a legitimate question. This is how little I know about politics. So Elon Musk is definitely like right wing pro Trump.
Well, this is just my opinion and I'm not good at this stuff either. But for a while, it seemed like far right wing, almost like extremist type values and ideas and stuff that he was kind of putting out in that feed. Because I would always I'd read something and be like, God, this is so insane. Like, get off of my Twitter. But now that the election's close, it's Trump. And so I don't know if that was part of his plan, like taking over X and then pushing all this out and then becoming a big Trump person. Like, I didn't feel like he was necessarily aligned with Trump from the beginning, but he was more on his side of values, but almost the extreme side of it. And now he's like outwardly endorsing Trump. So that's at least just from my, like, this is what I'm seeing on my phone and my feed. That's how it's appeared to me. So now, it's like all this Trump stuff and like talking smack about the Biden campaign and everything else. And so you have to click off of that For Me, and you've got to go to the following side because I don't want to see any of that. But the For Me side, last night, because I was scrolling my phone late at night and then again early this morning, and it's like all about Joe Biden, like being really, really sick. And
yeah, I saw that too. So I follow this girl, and I don't even know her name. My girlfriends were telling me to follow her on Instagram. And it's called House in Habit. Because I don't get on Twitter hardly anymore at all.
Yeah.
Every great once in a while I'll get on Twitter, but I just don't get on there anymore. Because, I mean, all social media is effed up, whatever. But to me, I mean, after the whole thing last year, like I got off Twitter for like, you know, 3 months or something. And then I reinstalled it back on my phone and I just really haven't, I just don't, it's funny how, you know, how you can break habits. Cause usually that's the first place I checked when I woke up in the morning. And now I just almost forget it's on my phone.
Yeah.
And so, anyway, my girlfriends, when we have our like political discussions, which are basically them like telling me what's on the news, they were telling me to follow this girl. Her account's called House in Habit. And she's an independent journalist. And she's always quick to point out, like, I'm an independent journalist, which means I'm not saying I don't have opinions or anything like that. It's just that I'm not paid by like mainstream media, like a network or a news publication or anything like that. And apparently she was like pretty liberal. And then, you know, over time it developed into be more conservative. And anyway, I do find she, you know, she does appear to be more right oriented than she is left. But she does, she's pretty informed. And you do feel like she's not like ignoring, you know, democratic issues and, you know, only focusing on, like I said, I'm pretty sure I don't pay that close of attention, but I'm pretty sure she leans right. But she's not like, the right is the only way. I love elephants and donkeys suck and whatever. So anyway, she's kind of informative in that, like the level of news that I'm willing to consume is about, you know, like her Instagram stories and anyone else I can find that's remotely sane and isn't just like a total whack job that only has one agenda. But anyway, it's just a crazy time and it's going to get so gross and, you know, until the election and probably after the election. I think it's just, it sucks. Election years suck. And the fact that this is legitimately like, this is what we've got going for us. This is the two candidates that we have. Like,
well, I mean,
now we have another or.
Well, and that I'm a little like happy about, not happy, but I had that same feeling too. It was just like, oh, neither of these people. So whether it's Kamala. So that's wrong. Kamala.
So you're telling me it's not Kamala.
So you're laughing. So I'm using context clues. And so I'm learning that it's not Kamala. Okay.
Judging by your reaction, it's not
Kamala. Whether it's her or somebody else.
I think she's also our vice president, Julie. So we need to learn to pronounce
her name. Politics shame me, you fools.
There is no person on this planet who is less qualified to politics shame someone than me. Trust me.
I feel like it's one of those names that I've always said twice to see like who gives me the reaction I need, and you did. So thank you.
Remember, like, yeah. So it's kind of like Terrell Owens. Like, it's Terrell Owens. It's not Terrell. It's Terrell. But you have those names that are like, you know, that could go either way.
Yeah.
And yeah. I don't know.
Kamala. Kamala. At least there's somebody different, maybe, whether it's her or somebody else. I guess it's not officially her yet, but it's looking like it's going to be her because she got the nomination. She got stuff from the Democratic Party that she wanted or needed or whatever. But I'm like, no one wanted those two candidates. So at least now there's maybe someone else. And I gotta learn about all about her, but yeah, it's crazy times right now.
You gonna do a deep dive into those policies before the election?
I was looking at it last night because I was like, I mean, I'm not scared to say, like, I have a vote that is up for grabs at this point, so I'm not tied down one way or the other. Okay. So I do feel like mind. I do feel like, yeah, I'm not gonna avoid the election like I have before because I didn't really like anybody or want to vote for anybody. I'm going to do my research and make an informed decision.
Good for you. Well, you let us know what your research is.
I will. It is interesting, though. I wonder if everyone's saying, like, if Taylor Swift endorses Kamala, it's like Taylor and Beyonce, if they endorse her, then it's like over. Like, it'll be interesting to see if she does.
I never thought about that. Yeah. The Bayhive and the
50? You get those two on your side.
It's a formidable team,
right? Heck yeah, I know.
Okay, enough political talk.
Yeah, I've been exposed.
You want to talk about Hall of Fame?
Yeah, let's do it.
It was so amazing. Literally like once in a lifetime opportunity, because I don't know how many other people that I consider myself friends that consider, you know, that I consider friends that are going to go into a Hall of Fame of any kind, especially the Baseball Hall of Fame. But it was seriously the coolest weekend if I've had in a long time. So Mike got to go with me. So we fly out on Friday, and John Blake, my boss at the Rangers, told me, you know, a long time ago, I went ahead and booked a hotel just because, I mean, a long time ago, I didn't know what the housing situation was going to be. I knew that the Rangers would have housing, but I didn't know if I wanted to stay like in a house with people I really didn't know that well. Like, I just was like, I'm good. I'm just going to get a hotel for Mike and I, whatever. So I booked this place, and John calls me on Thursday, which is the day before we leave. And he's like, Emily, I don't think you're going to like that hotel you booked. It's 20 minutes away and it doesn't look great when I drove by it. And I was like, it's like, I'm sure it's going to be fine, John. So we had shuttles though. And so someone would have to come pick us up and take us home whenever we needed to go somewhere. So anyway, we get there, get to Cooperstown. We all kind of get on different shuttles to go to houses or whatever. Oh, you know who was on there? Is our Erica Kuzman from Choctaw.
She was on your shuttle?
She was on the plane. She was there the whole time.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. Did you talk to her? Choctaw is such a huge sponsor of the Rangers. So yeah, shout out to Erica.
Awesome.
Anyway, so we finally get to this hotel. Julie, it was so bad. I mean, it was like the Bates Motel from Psycho. It was terrible. Like, I walked in and I try not to be dramatic, but I was like, oh no, we can't stay here. We can't stay here. And Mike was like, this is brutal. Like, so, and not to mention the fact that
look good on the website.
Like, it was total bait and switch. Like, I'm like, this place is like, they had it situated on a lake. Like, no, there was no lake anywhere close. It was, I mean, like, it just was real bad. Anyway, not to be snooty, but I just was like, there's no way we can stay here. Plus, not to mention the fact that someone was having to come get us from Cooperstown, drive 20 minutes each way to get us where we needed to go. So I call, the Kinslers, the Andruses, and the Morelands were staying in a house. And so, John had told me if, you know, worst case scenario, there's an extra room at that house, but it only has a twin bed. So I immediately like start texting the girls. I'm like, hey, how's that twin room look? And no one's answering. They're all going to the whatever. And so I finally call Mitch Moreland and I was like, hey, what do you think about, you know, Mike and I coming to hang with y'all? And so anyway, Susanna was with them and I talked to her and she was like, honey, it's fine. You'll have to share a bathroom with me and Mitch, but it's totally fine with us. And so they ran it by the group and they were like, come on, y'all bring it. So we ended up staying in a house with the Morelands, the Anderses, and the Kinslers. And we had the best time. I mean, the first night we cooked out and we didn't get there till late. So we just came and ate. And then the boys built a fire and we just all sat around the fire and just cracked on each other and told stories. And it was so much fun. And then Adrian and Sandra and the kids came over for a little bit and it just was so much fun just sitting around catching up and everybody being together. And then, the next day we went to the Hall of Fame. I got to go for the first time. It was super crowded, but it was still really cool. Walked around Cooperstown, which is adorable. Would highly recommend going there this time of year. If not for induction weekend, just, you know, a random weekend in the summer, we're definitely going to take the kids so they can experience it. But, did that. And then we had the party on Saturday night, for Adrian. And so everyone, the whole Rangers contingent was there, and a really cool moment where like all the Latin Hall of Famers showed up, Vladimir Guerrero, Juan Marichal, like just Big Poppy, like all these guys showed up to give to do a toast with Adrian. So that was really special. And then we went back to the house again and built another fire and just sat around and just laughed our asses off.
Oh, that sounds amazing.
It was so fun. And then went to the induction on Sunday, which was really cool to be there, you know, so close to everything and just to get to see Adrian and Sandra and the kids just like experience everything. And I was just so happy for them and for him. And I was so proud of him and his speech. Like, I knew he was, you know, worried about it. I know he hates that stuff, but I thought he did such a great job. And I just was so proud. Like, it just made me so happy and so proud. And I just felt so lucky. Like, this is crazy that we got to, you know, come along for this ride. And so, I mean, I had that such that great appreciation for being able to cover him, you know, as a player, and then to develop that friendship with the family and then get to like see it all culminate was really super, super, super special.
Oh, that's awesome, Emily. I listened to some of the speech today, actually, because I knew we would, you know, be chatting about it. And he did do a really good job. It's really cool to hear like how he got his start. You know, when he was younger, someone was like, why don't you play baseball? And how he ended up on third base, because the guy who was playing the guy who was on third wanted to play second. So he's like, why don't you switch with me? You know, just like a cool story. And you know, it's always cool to hear, because what he just went out and tried out for baseball, and like his, you know, he paid for he called it the subscription, or I think his registration, like he paid for it with money he had left over from his birthday, like to pay for his initial baseball registration. It's like, yeah, there's a whole part of the world that doesn't have parents that are just like, here, go play this, go do that, and you're doing this. It's like, no, he just kind of stumbled into it and then became a Hall of Famer. Like, what a cool story. And then, of course, my favorite part was when he gave you a shout out in the speech, which is amazing. Lumped you in with Evan Grant. So I don't know about that, but
that's fine. I'll take it. It was really sweet. And you know, and we were sitting beside Elvis and Corey Andrews, and which I didn't even think about at the time. Elvis got a ton of TV time because he was such a big part of Adrian's career. And so, you know, we were sitting right beside them, and so got some TV time there. And the shout out was so kind and so sweet. Definitely not expected, but I just thought he did a phenomenal job. And one of my favorite parts from the whole thing. So Saturday night when we were back at the house around the fire, Elvis goes, okay, I got a surprise for tomorrow. And I was like, what is it? So apparently he tried to talk like the Hall of Fame people into letting him sneak up on the stage and touch Adrian's head, which of course we all know Adrian hates to have his head touched. And they were like, no, way too complicated, way too much security, blah, 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 whatever. So Elvis talked to Vladimir Guerrero and to David Ortiz, to Big Poppy, at the party the night before. And he was like, will one of you do it? And Vladdy was like, I'm out. And Poppy's like, are you kidding? I'll do it. And so Elvis orchestrated that whole thing for Poppy to go touch Adrian on his head when he walked onto the stage, which I thought was hilarious.
That's amazing. Yeah. He's like, I can't get up there myself, but I'll
send somebody else to do it. So it was super funny.
Oh, that's awesome. How cool. And so fun that you got to stay in a house with all of them, because that like makes the weekend.
I know. It just was like so much. I mean, we were just like, I don't know. And I sent the girls a text yesterday morning, and I just was like, I just thank y'all so much for letting us crash, because the hotel sucked. And it was just so fun to catch up. And, you know, it's crazy how it's not like, you know, I've spent a lot of time with, you know, Corey and Elvis since Elvis left, and with Ian and Tess since Tess left, and Mitch and Susanna since they retired. But we, you know, especially with the boys, like we spent so much time together during those years when they were playing, you just pick back up, and like just the constant giving of shit, like just going at each other. Like no one is off limits. Nothing is safe. You're going to get it. You know, and it's just, it reminded me of what I love so much about, you know, about this job, and what I've, you know, the things that have happened over the last, you know, 20 years covering this team, and the things that I've gotten to experience. And that's absolutely it. Like that, the fact that, you know, 10 years later, we can all sit around a fire pit and just give each other the business for, you know, several hours over the course of a couple of days, and just clown each other and laugh. And it was awesome. It was
so fun. Two questions. What about that twin bed?
Okay. So first night, Mike started on the floor, and then I started on the bed, and then I felt bad. And I had enough wine at that point to where it really didn't matter where I slept. So we swapped out. Well, as I was getting up the next morning, I kind of like kicked something under the bed and it was a trundle. So we were able to pull the trundle out for night two and it wasn't near as bad. But so there was a trundle the whole time.
Okay.
Yeah, but we didn't take advantage of it till night two. So
were they like this, or did the trundle?
They were. I think you could have raised it up, but I was like, no need.
You didn't have enough wine to raise up the trundle.
Who cares?
Oh, I love it. That's so fun. And then how did you do in the house with all those people? Like, how was the OCD and everything like that?
It was fine. It was good. I was on my best behavior. We weren't there a ton.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, I would help.
Were you co-captain? It sounds like a group that you might not be able to, you know what I mean?
There really wasn't a cap. There really wasn't a whole, we all just kind of chipped in.
Okay.
And I think it was such a short amount of time where you didn't feel the need to establish those roles.
Right.
If we would have been there for a long time, I probably would have had to declare myself the captain of the ship.
Yeah. Oh, that's so funny.
I take that back. Tess was definitely the captain because she was like the one that was like so organized, knew everywhere we had to be, knew what we needed to be wearing, when we had to be there. So I take that back. Tess was definitely the captain.
She was the captain. Good. Well, I'm glad it all worked out for you.
Thank you.
That's awesome. Sounds amazing.
Okay, I think that's it. Oh, we haven't talked about All-Star Game. It was awesome. It was really cool. Like, it was fun for the kids to experience. It was fun to be there as a fan. The events that I worked were super cool. Kane Brown was adorable.
Aww.
Oh my God, so adorable. Oh my God, he's such a cutie pie.
Does he want to come on our podcast?
I can check with him. His manager, I need to see if I can get connected with her contact information, but she was so kind.
Maybe so.
And anyway, he was just super sweet. Like, and he told his story at the Boys and Girls Club, like to the kids that were there, and he was adorable. And then I did the softball panel with Jenny Finch and a couple of others. Oh, Lo Chamberlain is one of the ones that I did the panel with. And I messaged her. I'm like, can we get you on the mom game? She's super stud. She's pregnant with her first child. She's just like, she played softball at OU. Super stud. Awesome personality. So I'm going to try to get her on the show.
Sweet.
And then I did the red carpet did all the player introductions for the red carpet. And that was super fun.
How'd it go?
Hot as balls, but it was super fun.
Yeah.
It's been a crazy couple of weeks, but I wouldn't have it any other way.
Yeah. Those are some awesome events that you've been packing in there.
I know. Great. It was super fun.
Yeah.
Okay. And then next week we have a big show because my best friend is coming on. My friend Lisa, for my birthday show. I'm super excited about that.
I know.
We'll have some funny stuff. She'll talk about someone who will clown on me. Lisa's.
I'm excited.
Chief clowner, for sure.
I'm excited. We can get all the hot goss.
Yeah. From Lisa. It'll be fun. It'll be fun. Okay, Jules, we're going to wrap up. I know you're coming home later on this week, so I will see you next week. And yep. I think that's it.
Yeah, that sounds good. We covered a lot.
We did.
Thanks to 460 Realty for putting me up here for the show. Mm-hmm. If anybody has any real estate needs in Canada.
There you go.
Use
Vancouver Island. We got
you. Yep, Vancouver Island.
Okay. All right. Well, safe travels, honey. Have fun with the fam. Yeah. And I will see you next week.
Okay. Sounds good.
All right. Here we go. Mom game.
Mom game out.
The Mom Game is proud to partner with local GEICO offices, Victoria Elliott, proudly serving your local community.